This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Amanda Perkowski is going to be here in 15 minutes from Notre Dame.
Fencing.
Is this going to be our first fencing student athlete? It is, I think.
I think. I give that one some thought.
I know we've had...
Notre Dame's coach has been on multiple
times. We've had
times.
The coach before. No. Coach Gee has been on. Oh, no. No, we're going to do this now. No, we're not doing this now, are we?
I don't want to ruin our Emmy.
Oh, no. Oh,
This is where I put our sports Emmy holds the Notre Dame fencing national champion mask.
Careful. Don't hurt the Emmy, which is not ours, but go ahead.
It is ours.
No.
You need to learn to read, Wes, if you're going to get anywhere in broadcasting. Packer and Durham, right there. It says Packer and Durham. This is a real sports Emmy.
That's the birthday boys Emmy.
That's the real thing. Okay, it's not one of these plastic.
Yeah, apparently ours.
That's one of them fake plastic ones. No, it's not.
Of course.
We can melt this thing down and make ourselves at least $30 or $40.
Of course it's an Emmy. Of course it's got the masking tape over the...
This bad boy right here, though.
Oh, no. Here we go. I knew you were going to do this. I knew it. Boy, won't Amanda Perkowski be impressed with my co-host when she's on here? Don't mess up your hair.
Don't worry about anything. It's the real deal.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, right there. Wake up the echoes.
Can't wait to talk to Amanda. She is our first fencing guest. Student athlete, that is. And the Irish are good.
Wait a minute. I'm not going to put this on the floor because Fuller will
eat it.
He'll break a tooth.
He'll try to eat it. Yeah.
Ricketingly,
so leave that there, will you? Richard Chamberlain, man in the iron mask. All right. Also coming up, Brady Manek out of Harrah, Oklahoma.
Hey, let me tell you something, Brady. If you're a friend of Brady Manek, if you're a North Carolina student.
And you know Brady Manek.
You know Brady, knock on his door.
Give him a call.
Give him a call. Make sure he's awake.
This is terrible.
It's not terrible.
Brady Manek might be coming to us from the Woody Durham Media and Communications Center,
I don't care. I hope he's coming to us, period, at 9:30.
Yeah.
This is it for Brady. I'm just going to lay it out there. I don't normally give an ultimatum to student-athletes because we appreciate their time.
Do we have confirmed that Brady overslept? I think we do. We have that.
I've heard. Rumor has it.
Okay.
All right. You know, Joe Giglio's never overslept again after he blew his opportunity.
No, Brady hasn't either because Brady's going to be here at 9:30.
I'm planning on it.
All right, one stat per game gets us started here, and we're going to go to Raleigh. PNC Arena, North Carolina visits North Carolina State. Tar Heels 0-3 this season, went out-rebounded. NC State has won the rebounding battle in the last two games. You see Carolina was +7 the first time they played in Chapel Hill.
Well, they're +7 because NC State missed everything they looked at when North Carolina had them down 36 or something like that. I remember turning it off when it was 81-30 or whatever the score was. This game, I suspect, will be more competitive. North Carolina only scored 100 the first time they played, Wes.
Yeah.
Could have scored 150 in that game. So, two rivals. State doesn't like Carolina. It's just the way it's always been. The Pack has not been very good at home, as I mentioned, 1-8 at home in ACC games. And Brady, if you're watching, normally you get the bump in games like this. Just saying when you make
He got the bump when he didn't show the first time,
yeah,
and he's been bumping ever since.
Yeah, the anti-bump.
Yeah. Virginia Tech at Miami has been deemed the Mark Packer.
Game of the week.
Game of the weekend.
Yep.
The rematch of the Moore half-court heave takes place at the Watsco Center. 9-1 is Miami in regular season home finales under Jim Larranega. Canes are out on the road to close the regular season. They have won 6 straight. Yowza.
I think this game is so good that BPI is even confused. 50% is the winning spot here. Right on the money. 50-50.
And if Virginia Tech wins, they will have their best February ever since Dirt.
Pretty good.
Right now, they have equaled the team of 1972, 50 years ago, that went 6-1. I think that was a Don DeVoe-led Hokie team. I'd have to go back and double-check that, but let's go for the moment that it was Don DeVoe.
Their only loss, of course, the game you had last week against North Carolina.
That's it. Clemson is at Boston College. Tigers have won 9 of 10 against BC, including the last 4 in Boston.
Yeah, but that's a, you know what? That's a terrible stat. You know why? Because 9 of 10 sounds like they've dominated. Well, you know what? The last time they played, they lost. And that was this year.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yes, that's okay. It. No, that's where the of 10 comes from.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, don't tell me about 9 of 10, because the streak is 1.
The average margin of victory is 10, by the way.
I hear you. But the streak is 1 for BC.
Okay.
That's the stat.
Can I tell you a quick note? I'm going to give you a little bonus.
Sure, you're
stat.
Doing the game. You should be loaded with
first meeting they ever had, BC and Clemson, occurred on Independence Boulevard.
No kidding.
Bill Foster was in his first year as the coach at Clemson. Do you remember where Bill Foster coached before he came to Clemson?
Off the top of my head.
He was at Charlotte.
UNC Charlotte, that's right.
And so, because he left to go to Clemson, they had an event at the Chrome Dome called the Charlotte Invitational. Bob Zeffelato, who God bless him, is 85 years old and still an area scout for the Toronto Raptors. One of the really sharp basketball minds of the Northeast, former Chuck Daly assistant for years at a variety of places. Bob Zeffelato brought Boston College and they played Clemson. Bill Foster upheld his arrangement to host, be a part of the Charlotte Invitational, even though he was coaching Clemson.
Right down the street.
There you go.
Chrome Dome.
All right. Florida State is at Virginia. UVA's limited Florida State to fewer than 70 points in 19 of their last 20 meetings.
It's not surprising.
No.
Where they play D. Again, right. We gave you that stat first to 69. Boy, when the Hoos get to 69, you probably lost the game.
Yep.
And speaking of losing, Florida State's lost 8 of their last 9.
Yeah. Caden Shedrick, by the way, shooting 70% in the last 11 games from the floor. That young man's got a chance to find himself somewhere in the All-ACC balloting, I believe. He and Reese Beekman, I think, will be at the top, and Jaden Gardner certainly has a chance to be there as well. Georgia Tech is at Notre Dame. Since 07-08, Jackets and Irish have played 18 times. 17 have been decided by single digits, including the first one that went to overtime in early January.
You think this will be single digits or not? Yes or no?
I do not. No, I do not. Jackets are fighting themselves at the offensive end from a scoring perspective. I mean, you're getting off to slow starts and things like that.
I can't figure them out.
Ain't no question about that part.
NC State goes down there and has them down 29 at halftime in Atlanta. The next time they play, they've got Pittsburgh down 20-something. I can't figure them out.
Right. Duke is at Syracuse. You may have heard. Ball game tomorrow, 6 o'clock.
No more prank calls. We're getting down to business tomorrow.
Yeah, not a lot of call into the Big Orange Hotline. Duke's won the last 5 by an average of 13. They've also won their last 2 trips to the Dome. I think John Gillen shot's the last time Syracuse beat Duke at home. Oh, man. And, of course, Blue Devils won the earlier meeting this year. The Orange have lost just 1 game this year when shooting at least 40% from 3 and hitting 10 or more from behind the line.
Well, they've been playing really good basketball. And they have to really, really play well to beat Duke. Because I'm telling you, the Devils look like they're on a mission.
Yep, they do. Last one to touch here. Louisville at Wake Forest.
Must win for the Deacs.
Whoa.
I just think that if you want to go to the NCAA tournament,
I hear you. Okay.
You just cannot lose a game to Clemson and then follow it up with a home loss to Louisville.
Louisville has no double-digit scorers on their team.
It's crazy.
They have 10 guys averaging between 4.8 and 9.7 a game. It would be their first season without a 10-point-per-game score since 43-44. That would be the first – I think that's the Peck Hickman era, by the way, at Louisville basketball. That game is tomorrow night in primetime on the parquet at the Joel at 7 o'clock here on ACC Network.
There you go. Here's your list.
Wait. Hold on.
Infamous.
Yeah.
ACC here it is. Going index to the card.
Second to last weekend of the regular season right here.
The numbers are official. You can add them up yourself, and they all come up to zero. Here we go. Foul
76?
Margin.
76? Golly.
Don't worry about it. I'm getting ready to blow you away. Just hang tight. Gosh. Again, we don't come up with any conspiracies. You guys do.
Pastor's going to be on the phone.
Foul margin. Negative is good. Positive is bad. Notre Dame, Pitt, Duke, Carolina. All you Duke Carolina fans are always thinking the other guy. Well, you're both tied. Negative 22 in the foul margin. So I don't want to hear.
And looking up at Notre Dame.
I don't want to hear about anything about the shades of blue complaining about the officials.
Look at us. We're 3-4 and love it.
Connected at the hip. And the Deeks are right behind
you. They can't argue either.
Nope. Tobacco Road's good except for NC State. Yeah. They're over there on the other side of that positive, which is not a good thing.
Get to the back end, please.
All right. Georgia Tech at a plus 76. Here's a number for you.
Whoa.
There's your number.
Jeez.
Free throw attempt margin. This is the one that normally bothers people. Don't ask me why. You guys come up with conspiracy issues. Duke has gone the line 76 more times than their ACC opponents. Notre Dame right behind them. Ironically, they're 1-2 in the standings.
Forget that. Go to the back.
When you get to the bottom, negatives are bad. Remember, if you have a negative number beside your team's name, you've been watching the other guys shoot free throws against you all night long. Georgia Tech, I do not allow commas. I do not allow commas in the index card, but you have now reached triple digits. Negative 101 for all the right. Jackets.
Just promise me historically we're going to go back and look and see who's gone triple
figures. I'll look
that
up this week.
Okay, please. You. Thank you.
Teams have ended up in triple digits. But keep in mind, Notre Dame goes to the line second most in the league. Georgia Tech is dead last. Keep that in mind since they play this weekend.
Did you know there are only two teams in all of Division I that give up less percentage of their total points from the foul line than Duke? Did you know that?
Well, I did because the boys sent that to us yesterday. But when you would have asked me yesterday, I would not have known that.
Right. So let's go to the chart on the percentage of points from free throws. Georgia Tech is 115, 19%, and they trail by 100 shots.
101.
The math is not coming together. You know how I like to say sometimes the math doesn't work for everybody? Well, they're really not working in Atlanta.
You got that right.
Holy smokes. This is something you do some deep dive stuff sometimes and outthink yourselves, but Duke getting less than 12% of points from free throws, 356 national, that's an eye catcher.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
There's also only three teams in all of Division I that score a bigger percentage of their points from the free throw line than Pitt. Now, this is scoring at the free throw line. Now, Pitt, you know, when you get percentage points, you see that 16.9 is 216. But look at this stat. They're fourth in the country. By the way, for the bonus money, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, Manhattan, the Jaspers, and the Fighting Privateers of New Orleans are the only teams that get more percentage of their points on the free throw line than Pittsburgh. Bless the Jackets' heart, Pack.
been a tough year at the index card for the Jackets.
Oh, my God. So and the jump and the disparity there, and Dan Bonner is the one who qualified this early in the year for me about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh gets to the line and makes you pay.
Yeah, they attack.
Oh, my God.
And they make.
Yep.
That's the thing.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, grab your mask.
I know, I'll do it for 9:50. When we have Amanda on.
Well, she's coming on right here.
Got to mask up still.
Got to go to break. When we come back, off to South Bend. Look at here now.
See that one on the left?
Look, Amanda.
I got that right there.
That's it. Amanda getting after it. We'll talk to Amanda Perkowski of Notre Dame in fencing next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Grab a bat, grab a ball. ACC baseball makes its debut tonight on ACCN. 6 o'clock, we'll send you to Raleigh. The Pac-9 hosts Quinnipiac. That's not the Pac-9. They are the ninth-ranked team, but Pac-9 is the hashtag for NC State baseball. They'll be there at 6 o'clock Eastern time, also streaming live on the ESPN app.
Tommy White. Going yard for the Wolfpack.
Tommy White hits a home run tonight.
He's going to become a cult figure. I've got my eye on Tommy White.
You know
by
who
the
else?
Way, I also got my eye on East Carolina and North Carolina this weekend.
Baseball series. Okay, keeping an eye on that, are you?
Pirates are ranked in the top 25. Heels. Anytime you get that Eastern North Carolina thing in Tobacco Road,
yeah,
it's normally pretty good regardless of sport.
Let's go to South Bend, shall we? Oh, no. Don't do this to Amanda. Do it. Amanda Perkowski is here. Amanda, good morning. Great to have you with us. How are you?
I'm so excited to be here. We're off to ACC Championships in an hour, and I'm just really glad to be here.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Mark, are you going to put this on now? What Amanda, are you doing?
How are we doing? How about that? We got the real deal.
Oh, wow.
Right? The real deal. How about that?
Yes. You got the one with the Andy Lovers and all.
All right. Gia sent, and it's, and Amanda, he walks around doing this all the time. That's a problem, don't you think?
Very nice.
Yeah. See, how was the form? Pretty good, right?
Oh, just wonderful. You may need to extend your arm to actually hit, though, but otherwise, you're right there.
Okay, you're going to put the arm all the way? Oh, great. Good. Yeah.
There,
okay.
Full extension is nice. Yeah. Now you've got the technique.
All right, we're talking to somebody here who knows what they're doing with this thing on their face, though, not you, okay, sir? All right, you mentioned the ACC Fencing Championships, and Notre Dame has not been one of the great national stories in fencing. They're also one of the great stories, certainly, in the ACC. But this league is really good in this sport, and a little bit like, you know, we kind of caught the wave with wrestling on ACC Network, and I know fans are going to get a chance to see the championship, so you go to compete in this. Take me through kind of the challenges of a tournament like this. I know you have events during the year, but what makes the ACC Championship different this weekend in Durham?
Yes, I think there's a big expectation for the Notre Dame fencing team coming in. Last year was my freshman year, and we actually weren't able to compete due to a COVID outbreak on our team. So it's very exciting that we're able to come this year, and we just want to reclaim our title. So that comes with some pressure, but we're excited to live up to that challenge.
All right, so for folks that are going to watch this, that are like, okay, I saw Packer and Durham talking about Pack's acting the fool as usual. Wes is trying to be serious. Tell a regular fan who's channel surfing and runs across it what they should look for. What's the story?
Right, so there's three different weapons. There's foil, epee, and saber. I fence epee, which is probably the easiest to watch. If you hit anywhere on the target, from the head to the foot, it counts as 1 point. And if your opponent hits at the same time, it counts as well. So it can be a double touch, or you can just have one light. Some of the other weapons, there's a little more minute details about certain areas of target or how to hit the blade. So I would definitely say mine is easiest to watch for your normal viewer.
All right. So, Amanda, so for somebody that goes, well, all right, they've got the saber on it, just attack. Just go. Obviously, there's more strategy involved than just attack, attack, attack. And so kind of give us the nuances. Again, I think for folks that have no idea what we're talking about, what are some of the nuances where you just don't go, hey, green light, man, I'm going. Poor man, I'm just, bam, coming right after you. Doesn't necessarily work that way.
Right. A lot of people consider fencing to be physical chess. You have to wait and create an opening. So it's not about being passive. When we're just moving around, it's not just waiting, but we're creating openings and opportunities. You always have to find different ways to take the blade because your opponent's going to be expecting you to come in. So you have to go around their blade. So it's just all an expectation game and reacting on your feet.
Amanda, this sport has become, I was told this, I'm not one that has, other than walking into South Bend a couple of years ago, because I was up there for basketball, I got a chance to see some of it live, and I was fascinated. But the technology involved in this sport now is cutting edge. The monitors, all the digital stuff, the way they measure the scoring. Take us through some of the things you're thinking about when competing. It's just the skill of it, but there's also this second level to it, I understand.
Yes, I think the technology improvements have definitely enhanced the sport. Before, you would have three referees, two side judges, and one main referee where they would make the call if you hit or not. But now with the electronic technology, if you hit the body with 750 newtons of force, then your blade goes off. So this electric system has just made it a lot easier to tell if people are scoring touches.
So this equipment has basically eliminated bad calls, poor officiating. Is that correct?
There's still some bad calls. Like sometimes they'll hit the floor, but definitely few and far between.
Now, why can't we incorporate that?
We're not
in
going
other
to bring
sports.
Amanda into that conversation about other sports. No, we're not.
She's an expert. She's living the dream that all of us as sports fans would wish would happen for football, basketball, baseball, women's soccer.
This delightful woman does not need to be drug into your conversation about fixing sports.
It's not a matter of fixing sports. Amanda has fixed it.
I know she
you
has.
You should listen to what she has to say.
I just listened, and I know they got it right.
Hold on a second. Now I got to extend the arm into Durham, just eliminate him from the equation.
All right. I'm also intrigued because you're from Longwood, Florida. You go to school at Notre Dame, and yet you've been around the world in this sport. This is the global collegiate sport. For fans who follow college athletics, I don't think they realize how global this sport will take you, whether you're a collegiate athlete or at whatever level. Where's the most interesting place fencing has taken Amanda?
Yes, I've been really fortunate to travel a lot. I would probably say the two best places were Dubai, and then also I was actually an alternate for the Olympics this year, so I got to go to Japan, which was really exciting.
Wow. I'm telling you what, I got in the wrong sport.
Yeah, oh yeah, you did. Sure.
I mean, as far as the physical skill of the sport, is there? I would assume if you had long arms, hand eye coordination. Obviously, balance is critical here. But so, from a physical perspective, what would be the advantageous things? I mean, does reach matter if somebody had incredibly long arms? Does that make any sense?
Yes, having a long reach, I would definitely say, is advantageous. Also, flexibility. I actually grew up as a competitive dancer, so I felt like that having my splits was able to elongate my lunge, and just the balance required with dance was also very helpful. But also, if you run track or something, the speed and agility is definitely helpful.
All right, so you mentioned the Olympics and being an alternate. That had to be thrill. Is that really the end game for someone in collegiate fencing, is to get to the Olympics and win the gold?
I think everyone has their own goals, but mine for sure is 2024, 2028. I'm improving a lot with my new college coaches, and I hope I can get there.
Well, you have been very helpful. I'm just telling you. And Wes is getting nervous because you gave me some ideas about what fencing is doing that we can incorporate in the rest of sports. Mm-hmm. Before we let you go, though, before we let you go and get ready for the ACC championship, since you've been at Notre Dame, what has been your hardest class?
I probably have to say my coding class I'm in right now. I have never actually coded in my life before, but in the business school, it's one of our requirements. But I'm really excited to learn about coding. I know it's the new way of the world, and I'm excited to get on board with it.
Coding.
Cool. Yeah. Coding.
Well,
we didn't have that when we were in school.
No, we did not have coding, and I'm the better for it.
We both
because
are.
It would have been the struggle bus for me. Amanda, best of luck to you and to your team at the ACC Fencing Championships. We look forward to following the results. You've been delightful to visit with, and hope to get you back in the future.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great weekend. All right, when we come back.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We learned a lot.
I learned something in that segment.
When we come back, Brady Manick joins us from Chapel Hill. He's standing by and ready to go.
Oh, I like the sound of that already.
We're going to talk to Brady about a unique college basketball twist to have a great career at Oklahoma and then take the bonus and come to Chapel Hill, and he's a factor for the Heels going down the stretch.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I just really enjoyed coaching him. I really enjoyed being around him. And it feels like Brady has been here for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for him and his family for trusting me and trusting this university and this program, for somebody that has never lived outside of Oklahoma to just decide to come play for a coach in his first year in a new place, and the team loves him. He's a part of Carolina basketball for the rest of his life.
Pretty good deal.
That is a ultimate compliment.
No question.
Right there, coming from your head coach.
Yep. Hubert Davis brings us back, Packer and Durham on a Friday. Let's don't waste any time, right?
We got to get him. We got him.
Brady Manick's here. Good to have him here. First of all, welcome. Great to have you on the show. All right, we're going to get this out of the way. Packer and I, we kind of got told that the first time you were going to be with us, there might have been an oversleep situation. You want to confirm, deny, how you want to handle that? It's up to you, man.
I think we can confirm it. You know, it happened. But, you know, it's all good. Hey, second time's a charm. We're here.
Hey, let me tell you, we normally have the Packer and Durham bump. When a student athlete appears, they have an amazing week. It happens. Yeah. Uncanny. The week that you overslept, dude, you went off. And so we called it the anti-Packer and Durham bump. So we hope it continues from a positive standpoint, but we always appreciate the time. What is it, by the way, listening to Hubert, your coach, make those comments, how'd that make you feel?
You know, it's special. You know, he's in his first year, like he said, and it's one of those things where I just had a feeling whenever me and my parents talked to him, you know, second time through the recruiting process, I didn't need much. I wasn't looking for anything. I wasn't looking to go on any visits. I just wanted to find the right place, and I think I did just that.
Well, and Mark and I've talked about this, Brady. You played at Oklahoma for one of the great coaches in basketball. I think Lon Kruger is just one of the terrific people who knows how to win. You guys went to the tournament. You knew what success was. I mean, you grew up in Oklahoma. I'm sure it seemed like a great fit. Then you come to Carolina. I mean, this is one instance where I think that bonus year, grad transfer, whatever the case may be, it really worked out. It's a win-win for you, and I think it's a win-win for Carolina. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, you know, I just think, you know, my time at Oklahoma was unreal. I mean, I'm up there in scoring, up there in threes, up there just in field goals, really anything. And, you know, that's always going to be special to me. But like you said, having that fifth year, it's great having a chance to play at a school like this, playing such a legendary resume at this school, playing for Coach Davis in his first year. You know, it's just really special. You see it, you know, all the players coming back, getting to meet a bunch of people. It's just really cool.
Brady, I know you've not had a chance to play at NC State, and of course you go to Duke next week. But how would you compare the Big 12? I mean, you get to go to Kansas, which is one of the great environments of all time. Baylor wins a national championship. There's some great spots on the road in the Big 12. How would you compare Big 12 and ACC, given your experiences of this season?
You know, I'd say they're very similar. You definitely got those schools where not many people are showing up. Fans aren't really into it, but very similar. You know, at Big 12, it was Kansas, Texas, Texas Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma State games. And here it's been Louisville, it's been Clemson, it's been just some really big games. And I think the two biggest ones are the ones we're about to play on the road. So, you know, I'm just really excited to be a part of these games. And, you know, when I moved here, I didn't realize how close the schools were. But when I figured that out, and it was just, it's crazy how many people you see at restaurants just wearing different colors because they're all right here.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned Oklahoma, and I love a stat. I ran across this stat back before December. I was getting ready to do my first Carolina game of the year. You're the tallest player in Big 12 history to make 200 or more threes, and you're the first to make 200 threes and record 100 or more blocks. I mean, that makes your game hard to quantify. I mean, what is it? What is a stat like that? How does that fit with you?
Yeah, you know, it's special. You know, I get told what I can and can't do, but that right there just shows I'm just a unique player. Being able to shoot, being able to be inside a little bit. I would say it's hard to guard for the other team. I've always found, you know, I'm always moving, always getting an open spot. Teammates are finding me. It's just one of those things that you just can't really game plan for because there's not many people in the country that play the way I've played over the last few years.
You know, I know that there's probably a lot of folks in the ACC area that don't understand the intensity of Bedlam when the Pokes and the Sooners get together. I don't care what the sport is. You've already had a chance to sample NC State, and you guys took them to the woodshed in Chapel Hill. I suspect the coach has made a reference that, you know what, the environment tomorrow is a different animal. They simply don't like shades of blue like that, Brady. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that it's a hostile place, and I'm really looking forward to it. You know, we've played in some good environments this year, and you know, we're saving the best two for the end. And you know, I think just the in-state, the close rivalry is just going to be exactly what I came here to play in, and the games I wanted to be a part of.
I saw a picture the other day of you, I think, as a freshman at Oklahoma. Brady, it was a different look now than what we got now. I mean, there wasn't the beard, there wasn't the hair. It looked like the number two haircut, and looked like we just rode in from Harrah to Norman. I mean, man, you kind of let it go a little bit here, huh?
Yeah, so, you know, first year of college was buzz cut, no beard. Second year, decided to grow it out, and all the Larry Bird stuff took off, and I just played around with it. You know, junior year went back to shaving it, and senior year I started this look, and I in my second senior year now, and it's just kept going, and it's gotten even crazier.
What's the best thing you found in your beard?
I don't think I'm looking for like gummy bears or jelly beans or anything, but
last night's mac and cheese. I mean, there's gotta be something you found. There's gotta be something you found in that beard that you went, son of a gun. I thought I dropped it on the floor. It's sitting right here off my chin.
That's funny.
All right. And now here's the other thing I had to ask you about. We got in this conversation with Coach Davis, I think the first time. And then I think Baycott doubled down on it and said that when Brady gets in the practice gym and gets control of the music, it is straight country. Can you confirm this?
I can confirm it. I listen to country music when I'm in the car by myself. It's usually country. I'll listen to anything, but you know, when you go to practice, and we were there for a while, beginning of the year, it was every guy had a few songs that they played, so on their day it'd be a different music. And you know, I hear the same songs about every day, so I had to switch it up a little bit. And you know, it just makes everybody else angry or uncomfortable. So I was here for it, and you know, I'll play country music.
So what'd you throw at him, Brady? Come on now, I'm counting on you, because I'm a country guy too. I'm counting on you throwing something good at him.
Yeah, I threw a little God's Country, Blake Shelton. I threw Springsteen, Eric Church. Tequila, yep. Little Time, John Party. Should have been a cowboy, Toby Keith. You know, I was rolling with it.
Yeah, if Toby Keith wasn't mentioning those OU roots, he's going to come find you in Chapel Hill if you didn't mention Toby Keith.
Yeah,
that was an automatic. You kidding?
Yes.
I've always loved to make those comparisons, given your experiences and so forth. But, you know, I've been to Norman many times, and it's a great spot. I mean, great sports fans. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff to pick from. But Chapel Hill's got a totally different environment, isn't it? I mean, does it even look similar? The terrain's totally different. I mean, that's got to be one of the refreshing things for you.
Yeah, so, you know, there's just my first thing I tell everybody, you know, there is a ton of trees out here. And I'm not joking. There is a ton of trees. But you know, it's not as flat. And speaking on the fans, you know, it's just a very different basketball environment. You know, I think we played a game before Christmas against App State, and you know, there were so many people here, and I was like, this is just a generic preseason type game. And you know, going into that game, didn't expect the crowd to be as big as it was, but it was, and it was awesome, you know, and it just carried out throughout the whole year, and they've really helped and supported us throughout the year.
Blake, Brady, I'm curious how this works. You mentioned there have been some experiences, and I read a quote after the first NC State game from Caleb Love, but I'd be curious to know what a kid from Harrah, Oklahoma thinks when he comes out on the floor to play NC State and Michael Jordan sitting at the scorer's table.
Yeah, that's a little unreal for me. You know, it's one of my parents' favorite players. You're always talking about him and talk about how good he was. And you know, I'm a little too young to really know anything other than just watching old highlights. And he's one of the greatest ever play, and fortunate enough to play at this school where he played at. And, you know, watch being at that game and him sitting at the scores table, that's one of the most unreal, kind of an uneasy feeling, you know, like that's one of the greatest players to ever play, and he's just casually watching us play a college basketball game. It's really, really cool, and it was really special.
Brady, did you go up to him and just go, "Hey, Mike, how you doing?" Did you drop him one of those, like, just kind of casual, or did you just not say anything?
You know, you just, one of those things, you just don't really say anything. He was so much bigger, and it was just a great time for a team. He came in and talked to us after the game. It was awesome.
That's very cool. All right, I'm going to ask you our traditional question. I was going to ask you this the first time, but you overslept.
So oh, see, one. This is no, not I'm, even I'm right. With, Come I'm on now.
All right, here it is. Since you've been at the University of North Carolina, what has been your hardest class?
Yeah, I would say the war and culture class I'm in right now. It's not very demanding. We don't have very many assignments, but, you know, just trying to keep up with what's going on in the world. It's especially what's going on right now. You know, it's just it's really cool, and we've got a lot of information to cover.
I'll tell you what.
We appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch you play, and it's been great to have you in the ACC this year. So good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Brady Manek.
He's great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just a guy who – and see, here's the stories, too. The transfer portal, the grad year, the NCAA throwing out all those bonus coupons, right? More often than not, it's worked out okay. Think about Mahamudu Gee at Pitt.
For those who have found a home, it's
right.
worked out well.
No question.
Well, there's also thousands that are sitting around going, thousands. Man, what happened? Where'd my education go?
Yeah. There is that problem.
So if you find a home, hey, it's tremendous.
But for the grads, I think more often than not, it's been okay, don't you? Totally. Now, the transfer portal itself is a zoo.
Right.
But the grad transfer, this bonus year?
Totally different. Yeah. Getting a chance to, and on top of it, not only do you get a chance to play, but more importantly, get the chance to further your education, which, again, keeps getting lost in the conversation about the transfers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The object is to get a degree, right? Less than 2% are going on to the play, whether it be the NBA, the NFL, the right. WNBA, Major League Baseball, whatever the case may be. So once you get your footsteps on campus, get your degree.
2 o'clock tomorrow in Raleigh for State Carolina. And then Monday night, 7 o'clock ESPN, Carolina Syracuse. And of course, next Saturday night, 6 o'clock ESPN for Duke Carolina Part 2.
That'll be a pretty big week for North Carolina. State, Syracuse, Duke.
Yep.
Pretty big.
Yep. All right. On the other side, it's Friday. Some of us have got to go try and get to the Northeast. Some of us have to go to Bojangles. Yep. The weekend menu.
The hounds.
Look at the dog. I mean, Chester starts perking up the minute we mention the weekend menu.
That's right. No butter, please, on the biscuit.
It is next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
There's no right answer or wrong. It's only your answer. When it's time to get absolutely juiced up and ready to go, what is the ultimate walk-up music for you? What gets you absolutely jazzed up?
I don't believe in external motivation.
You didn't just ask me what kind of music I like.
Yes,
I'm
did.
I'm so glad you asked me that.
I have a very eclectic playlist pack.
It's not Breakfast at Tiffany's.
You're not going to believe this one, but we're going to go Jay-Z, We Run This Town Tonight.
I'm an Allman Brothers guy. For as long as I can remember. Let's do some Midnight Rider. Come on, brother.
There we go. All right.
I've really been into Dua Lipa lately. Her stuff gets you moving a little bit.
I have a 4-year-old granddaughter, and mine and her song is Fancy Like Applebee's. I'm transitioning in my older age. It used to be rap, 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 and now it's about happy music.
Meek Mill, Dreams and Nightmares, no question. But man, there's just something that when that song comes on, it hits a little bit different.
70s disco in there. You know, KC and the Sunshine Band. I'm going to put a little Bee Gees. I might even go with Burning Down the House, you know, Tramps.
I would think Eric Church's Carolina.
I like your style there, Coach.
You will hear Pearl Jam's Corduroy. You'll probably hear a little Springsteen. You'll probably hear some Rolling Stones.
There was a one by Eminem, Lose Yourself. You know, that's a good one. That's a hard to beat that one. That's one of the all-time great songs. You guys know who Eminem is? I'm not sure.
Sorry,
Betty Crocker.
Really?
We're up to speed here.
You know, I guess I have to give it to Beyonce because, you know, she wrote the song about me, Drunk in Love.
That's not what I was thinking.
I wasn't thinking that at all. Westmore.
Oh, didn't it say this? Look.
Yeah, BGs.
BGs.
Of course.
Yeah.
We'll walk up music for you. Had some guy on Twitter asked what our walk-up music would be.
Well, you already said yours is Down Payment Blues?
AC/DC's Down Payment Blues
would
be my go-to.
Our producer, Andrew Brooks, says they all sound the same.
Rude.
I'm torn. I would probably Van Halen, David Lee Roth Van Halen, by the way, for those of you wondering. No.
Red Rocker?
No. Unchained by Van Halen. Yeah,
sounds like you, Unchained.
West Durham Unchained.
Then there'd be Sinatra,
though.
If you do a podcast, that should be the title of it. West Durham Unchained.
I like Sinatra, though.
It's your world, man.
I know. And the other thing, I like...
There's no right answer or wrong answer. It's your answer.
I like Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, too. That's the other problem. See, I'm all over the... Forbes and I are a lot more alike. We're starting to find out Forbes and I are a lot alike. It's a real issue.
Yeah, you're more Forbes style, more Coach Young at Virginia
Tech. Yeah, you and Coach Young.
Coach Pry, Coach Young.
Coach Pry. He is in the Allman Brothers.
Looks like, if you gave him an instrument and he walked out, he'd go, oh, yeah, he's one of the Allman Brothers.
If he'd shave part of that beard, he'd be Dickie Betts.
I got no problem with the Allman Brothers.
No, that's been
or
a fun.
Springsteen.
The student athlete question
Pearl Jam.
Has always delivered.
Yeah.
The walk up music for coaches has also delivered.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I know. That's why I tell people all the time, one of the most creative people I've ever worked with, smart and creative, is right over here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So before we get out of here, happy birthday, Billy Packer.
Yep.
Billy turns 82 today. And, of course, is a star of the show and has appeared here, three or four times or something like that?
He's made more appearances in the tournament documentary than he has on this show.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But, we're going to try to get him on before this thing's over.
All right, and real quick here, and I know we got the Bojangles weekend menu. We're going to get to it. I have been asked a couple different times in the last 3 days about the coat. For those of you that weren't with us.
Yeah, you got to know.
This is Marvin Skeeter Francis. He was the director of the Atlantic Coast Conference basketball tournament, the men's basketball tournament. A lot of them are being shown in the tournament.
Bureau.
Yeah, Tournament Bureau, Tournament Service Bureau. Skeeter, it was a character of this conference. And a wonderful gentleman and a friend to everybody. Yeah. And he's also, as you found out in the doc the other night, one of the minds behind the formation of ACC basketball and television.
That's right.
And this is legitimately one of the blazers he used to wear at the tournament.
Yeah.
And it is, everybody says, get a better hanger. Why would we do that?
No.
This is the dry cleaners that service the coat.
Right.
So, there you go. And his son, Marvin Jr., has given that to us for on loan, if you will.
Yeah, for the month of the tournament.
Bojangles weekend menu. Shall we? Yes, let's. Baseball tonight, 6 o'clock. Doak Field at Dale Park. The Wolfpack and then Quinnipiac, 6 o'clock Eastern
time. Tommy White going yard.
Tommy White hitting bombs. Saturday, tripleheader of basketball. Clemson, BC at 3. Georgia Tech, Notre Dame at 5. Primetime is Louisville and Wake Forest. And then a quadruple header of ACC women's basketball, final day of the regular season, BC, Syracuse, Florida State, Pitt, Duke, Carolina, as it should be, and NC State, Virginia Tech. Will have the double buys all sorted when we join you on Monday morning.
It's not too hard, though, for the ladies. We got three that are in,
yep.
And it's either going to be Virginia Tech or North Carolina jumping in on board on top of it. Virginia Tech, NC State, be a great game.
Thanks to Asia Cobb, Syracuse Women's Soccer, helped us wrap up Unity Week. Earl Grant of Boston College. Amanda Pierkowski of Notre Dame Fencing. It will not be her last trip
to
the Packer
great.
And Durham program.
She was terrific.
And Brady Manick of Carolina.
He was great.
Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, Lisa Friday on a Monday or
back
Monday on
Matt
Lisa.
With the,
Matt delivered the goods.
Yeah.
And Coach K, thanks for calling Boeheim Show last night.
Just leave us alone.
We'll see you on Monday. We get ready for the final regular season week on the men's side and get you ready for Greensboro on the ladies. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.